Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to the Story Studio. Oh yeah, here we go. Check it out now.
Welcome to the Story Studio, a podcast where an independent publishing company explores a world of self-publishing, independent art, and the future of storytelling. My name is Luke Condor with a K, 2018 version, and I'm joined by...
Dan Wilcox, 2018 version.
Dan Wilcox, 2018, has a comes with like a yogurt.
It does.
And 2018, Luke comes with like a beer. Got a little car.
It's setting the bar for the year ahead.
Yeah. How's it going, man? You have a nice Christmas and all that? Nice holiday?
Yeah, it was good. I was wiped out with some miraculous illness that I was fearful came from a Stephen King book, but yeah. Magically better. I'll be a little bit sniffly today, so if you hear a nice little, that's probably just me just sucking it all back in. But
Captain Trips.
Yeah. Captain Trips. Oh, yeah. Crap, yeah. How was yours?
Yeah, it was pretty good. I went to stay with the family, saw all the dogs. Mum's got like 8 dogs.
Oh my god,
she's got a new puppy. We took Alaska, so she got to meet all the dogs. It was good for her. We got really
big dogs or small dogs?
Border collies. Alaska's actually bigger than them. Yeah, so Alaska, I always thought that she wouldn't be quite as big as Mum's biggest dogs, but she's in 8 months has like already sort of taken over them, as their power level is now an alpha ultimate dog.
Do you think she's ever going to stop growing?
Yeah, no, I think dogs do.
Eventually. But do you think she will?
Yeah. I think a year to 2 years, I think, is when they say they stop. But, I mean, it'd be kind of cool if you didn't. It's kind of a interesting idea for a story.
I think there was a kids show about a giant red dog that didn't stop growing.
Really? There was Honey, I Blew Up the Kid. You seen that one?
There was. Yeah. Years ago. Remember it now.
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Do you remember that one? Rick Moranis?
Yeah. Honey, I Shrunk the Neighbors. Was that one?
Yeah, I remember that one. Yeah. I remember someone having to save someone with a banana. I don't know if you remember that.
I remember like tiny little flickers of it. And then I get it confused with The Borrowers.
Oh, I remember that was good. Yeah, I know you mean because like small people. Yeah, see you're at. Yeah. Man, so you haven't been writing. You've had a little bit of a break, right?
Yeah, I took a little bit of a breakout, mostly because I was ill, but also just because what with the end of last year being quite manic for me personally and job-wise and everything else, I literally just let myself just take 2 weeks off, get a bit of a head, and got straight back into it come the 2nd of January with the help of my good friend Stephen Pressfield, for those listening. But yeah, I did get a nice selection of books over Christmas, one of them being The War of Art, which I read at the beginning of last year. And I think it's one of those books that you can just read year on year, and it's a quick read. But
I'm doing another read of it, I think. Yeah, because it kind of reminds you, it's one of those books that's like, oh, that's what I've not been doing for the fact. Like, that's my mindset. Cause it's like one of those things where you said it and you kind of think, I know that now. That's just part of me. But then you suddenly, you over the time, you do sort of, you know, like the weeds grow and you need to have a bit of a refresher every now and again.
And I think he just words everything so beautifully in there. It's just, it comes across, for those people that haven't read it, it comes across sometimes a little bit preachy and godlike, but not loads, just occasionally one or two pages he refers a bit more to God's powers.
That's like the last section, right? Like the first two sections are the last section is like, and heaven will help you.
Or like,
it's kind of fictional for me, I don't know. But it is really good. What have you been reading? Been reading any of the book that we both bought recently?
Yeah, I have actually. I've been have we announced? We haven't announced a reading club on here.
No.
So new for this year, Hawk and Cleaver have started a reading club. So for anyone that wants to join us, once a month we're going to be posting up a selection of books up on the Facebook group, which is just found at Hawk and Cleaver. You can feel free to add your own ones if you want to throw those into the mix, and then everyone in the group votes on it. And then each month we'll pick the top winner, buy the book, and read through it. And what was this month?
Strange Weather by Joe Hill. Got it £8 off Amazon. And
it is a nice book.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it? Have you had a look through it? Because there's like illustrations in there as well.
Yeah, it's really, really nicely done. Hardback as well.
I've not started it yet because I'm working my way through Wizard and Glass. So I think I'll try and get that done before I move over.
Are you going to be ahead of me when you finish that?
The Wizard and Glass. Oh, in the Dark Tower. Yeah.
Oh, you're well ahead of me. Wait. Yeah, that's number 4, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm halfway through that one. I've not finished it.
Cool. Yeah. So if you wanna go join the reading group, just go to the Facebook group and join us there. But I guess so. It's my turn to ask some questions to you, Dan. When was it? A couple of weeks ago. You asked me things I'd learned in 2017. And I figured we should do more of like a looking forward episode. So I've got 4 questions.
Oh, okay.
Not to put you on the spot.
But to put me on the spot.
I haven't even like thought of my answers for them yet. So I'm going to both be on the spot in a sense. But do you want to do the first one first and just sort of see how we go?
Yeah, I think that's a good way to start.
Okay, cool. okay, number 1. What is the biggest tick box for you to tick off in 2018? Like, what's the number one thing out of anything? The top of the mountain, the biggest rock, the biggest football to kick, the biggest dog to train. What is the dog that won't stop growing for you that you need to stop growing?
Is this writing wise? Is this life wise? Is this?
I was thinking more, you know, general writing career sort of wise, but. Whatever that big.
Okay, it's kind of. What's the? Yeah, it's kind of interlinked anyway. So my big goal for this year is to clear all financial debt and surpass my actual job income with writing income. Just purely for obviously the fact that debt isn't a nice thing. I do have some. You know, I'm not perfect. I'm 26 still. I've had just a wildlife, but yeah, it's to clear that just so that I can start putting money more into the book business, so that I can get the covers that I want, so that I can push out my outsource to editors, so basically so I can outsource a lot of stuff to make my time more valuable and to make more money coming back in. And obviously working alongside Michael Anderley and the guys is a very helpful thing to have, so I'm going to be pushing a lot more towards making my books within that universe as successful as they can be alongside some of the other fantastic writers there, and just getting to a point where I can once a month buy something for me and feel a little less guilty that I'm letting my son down.
Okay, yeah, what, like a nice present for you once a month, or like a nice present for family or
everyone
including me?
Of course, you'll have all the presents. I'll shower you with roses. Okay.
Well, you're doing the right thing in terms of writing within the Michael Andalo's world. I think if you want to pay off some debt, I mean, that's surely going to be a good way to go.
Yeah. And I mean, it's a fantastic thing to be involved in. I've been working my way through the books. I've been speaking to the other guys on the Slack groups, and everyone's lovely. And actually, I'm going to be bringing on a couple of people at some point later this year when the Age of Madness launches, so we can have a little bit of an exclusive behind the scenes of some of the other writers within the universe.
That'd be cool. Yeah. Can we announce them yet? Is it who I think it is?
I'm not sure. I mean, we'll hold off for now just in case, but okay, cool. Yeah, we'll make a note and we'll talk after the show. Yeah. But yeah, that's kind of my big ones, is just to have, like, don't get me wrong, I'm not so hard up that I can't afford stuff. I have quite a well-paying job, but obviously coming out of university, as everyone knows, you accrue some debt there. Going through life, bought a car, renting a house, all that kind of jazz. But yeah, clearing it all off the plate and starting anew. It's going to be my 2018.
Yeah. So that's the big one, clear off the debt. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yes. I think, what about you?
Well, I was going to say, I've got a few. Basically, I've on my whiteboard, on the 1st of January, I cleared it all off, got it all clean, and then started writing down my main projects. And the main projects I've got here, I've got They Ruin, Keith, the 3-0, El Marvo number 2, and I have not filled out number 5 yet. But I think that would be a half marathon. I want to do a half marathon. But
nice.
So I figured number 1 out of all, in terms of what I think I would be the most, the one I really want to tick off of all of those would be Keith. So I just think it's a big project, and I think it's something I've been meaning to do for so long. So yeah, that's a feature film that I'm making in a sort of obscure, weird way. It's an experiment. It's my version of El Mariachi, Robert Rodriguez's like first feature film, you know, like a low budget experiment just to see how it goes. So that'd be the big one for me. I think I have no idea how difficult it's going to be until I start sort of working on it. So it might even be something that goes on till next year, but I have no idea. Yeah,
that is a big one. I know you've been speaking to that about that for a fair while. But do you also find that when you come up with, so you've made your list of 5, and you look at one of them and think, really, that's not going to serve any wider purpose than to make just me happy. Maybe I could move that to later on down a couple of years. But there's that tiny part of you that goes, no, I just need to do it. Do you know what I mean? You'll have those passion projects where, not saying that obviously a feature version of Keith won't, but
it might amount to nothing, like in terms of financially or anything. Mm. But I do feel like this year I kind of just want to follow the muse a little bit more, sort of experiment a little bit more. There's a lot of things I'd like to do. Like I'd like to sort of, you know, make music and sort of do photography and stuff. So I still want to do a lot of writing because that's kind of, I enjoy that. I've got big writing projects I want to get done this year as well. But in terms of, I kind of see Keep as like, will be my little escape. In terms of, I'll write more commercially in some aspects, but then I'll go to Keep and I just go, all right, let's make some craziness.
This is mine. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
it's a good way forward. Are you putting number 4 of the Rot series anywhere around there?
Well, I was thinking I definitely want to do another first draft of a novel this year, at least one more. So that may well just be the 4th Rot book, or I don't know. Yeah, I want to get through these first. Yeah, yeah. We'll see how it goes. Yeah. Cool, man. So next question for you: what is your biggest enemy in 2018?
Oh, okay. Myself.
Oh, interesting. Mm. What makes this is like you on Dagobah fighting the Darth Vader Spectre. It was you the whole time.
I think job wise, I did quite well last year. In at the beginning of the year, I was in a assistant position where I work, and I finished off the year having 3 promotions and working my way to a manager position, which obviously financially is great. Professionally is a great thing to have on my CV. And I'm enjoying what I'm doing. But the difference in mentality from the beginning of the year to the end of the year, obviously at the beginning of the year, there's a lot less pressure on you as the gatekeeper for things at work, which meant that when I left work, I felt a lot more energy and able to carry on with some of the writing stuff. When I'd finish work, get involved in some of the evenings, I could sit there for an hour, 2 hours, write some stuff in the evenings. Whereas especially towards the latter end of the year, we were understaffed at work, we had a lot going on, and it just meant that I was always just a bit too tired in the mornings, and that started to drag in the evenings, and that started to drag into my mornings as well. And just adjust my mentality a bit, because I know that mentally I'm strong enough to get up early to do the work, to get on with my day. But there was something about just the amount of changes that happened that managed to pull me away from that a bit.
Yeah.
So moving forward into this year, I think one of the bigger things for me is to just try and keep aware of, one, where my energy levels are, two, to work through those sort of troughs when you get to the point where you're lagging a bit and things are getting a bit harder to write, and just persevere. Because at the end of the day, even sitting down to write 15, 20 minute sprint of 500 words is contributing. And everyone can fit that into a day, come on. And yeah, just making sure that I know what my priorities are, what I want to accomplish, which I've already set my list of the things I want to do for this year, on every kind of level. And just making sure that I remember how I feel now for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
Because I think that's the hardest bit. Obviously, it's inevitable that you're going to have times when you are tired, you do get ill, things don't quite work out the way you plan. But at the end of the day, as long as you can keep mentally on top of everything and know that you're moving in the right direction, then that's something to carry you forward.
It's weird. It's, I'd say similar sort of ideas. One of my sort of biggest enemies in terms of myself is that sometimes I get tired because I'm tired of things aren't where I want them to be in terms of, like, I want to be further along the process. I want to have the house tight, even like small things. I want to have the pots done, and it's like, do you know what I mean? Like, cleaned up and stuff. And it builds up to the point where I just get overwhelmed, and the overwhelm I find really fatiguing, really tiring. So then I'll be getting home, I'll start writing, and I'll be like, I just can't even think about what I'm doing right now. Like, and I just want to go to bed. At that point, I just want to go to sleep and just sort of fuck it all off and start again. I'll do it properly tomorrow. But then
who wins?
Yeah.
No one wins.
No. So it's one of those things where you kind of have to lay the foundations in the day and say, I'm going to do 1,000 words before I leave for work every single morning. And once you get that first big rock, first big lever sort of like pulled, the rest of the day just seems to be so much easier, and you don't feel the overwhelm. You don't feel quite as like pressured. I sometimes just feel a massive weight of life. Like, and you put most of the pressure on yourself, I think. But
I mean, I did that over Christmas, not so much in doing lots, but because I was ill and I decided to take a bit of a break, I didn't set an alarm. Mm. I got up when I felt like it. I went to bed when I felt like it. I obviously spent time with my family and did all that kind of Christmassy stuff. But then when I woke up in the morning, the day didn't feel like mine.
Yeah.
But then come the 2nd of January, because I had a friend staying over until the 1st, but come the 2nd of January, I decided to get up early. And the first thing I did was just go for a 2K run.
Yeah.
And then sit down with my computer, do some work. That morning, I also finished a book. I also finished the end of a film that I hadn't finished yet watching. Yeah. And just from that was like a domino effect of just quick wins in the morning. And from that,
you just
feel a lot more like you're in control of stuff, like you're actually grasping what you're trying to do. And you don't realize, I don't think, how effective that is in the morning, just to be able to go, I've done the thing that I want to do.
Just get a win. So like this morning, the past couple of mornings, I've been really struggling to get back into that morning routine again, of like waking up kind of excited and fresh. So there was a point when I was getting up at like 5 o'clock, 5:30, and I had loads of times to get stuff done. But the past couple of days, I woke up at like 6:45. Within the space of 10 minutes, I'm ready to work, like catching the bus to work and stuff. And I don't get a chance to do any writing or anything. And then by the time I get to like 6 o'clock in the day, I'm like, I've still got to do my writing. I've still got to record a podcast. Like, it's all kind of like, just like a massive amount of pressure bundled into one sort of, like you never feel peace unless you get some work done first thing.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
No. No, that's it. You just feel like you're letting yourself down more than anything. And it does follow you around for the day. As much as you try not to let it, you can sit and say to yourself, I'll do it at lunch, but then you don't do it at lunch. Then I'll do it in the evening, and then the next day comes, you're like, oh, I need to double now, and it just builds up.
Yeah, exactly. And you start to feel guilty about the fact that you've not done the work you should, and then you start feeling bad about feeling bad because you think, I just need to get on with it, and it kind of builds on itself. Yeah.
See, I also found that because I'm trying to hit or get to a point where I'm hitting high word counts again, I set a full, it was a Google sheet of word counts per day, how many that'll get me through the week, what that'll look like, so I can work out rough timescales of when I was going to finish each project.
Yeah.
And that lasted all of 2 days, because I think looking at it from a top level, you suddenly go, oh, shit, that's a lot of words. And even if you give yourself 800 words to do that day, you still look at it and go, oh, but look at all these words. But now that I'm literally just, I'm taking it back to basics, I'm getting up in the morning, I'm sitting with my coffee, I'm opening my laptop, and I'm just writing. I'm not worrying about anything else, I'm just writing. And it just feels like a lot cleaner. A much cleaner process.
It's like when you're running, if you go for like a long run, like 10K or something, and you start running and you're about 3K in and you're like, I'm fucking knackered. How the hell am I going to do 10K like this again and a little bit more? Like, you start to worry about the fact that you're not going to be able to do the whole thing. And then eventually at some point you just go, just keep your eyes on the floor and just keep running, like just one step at a time. Just make it to that lamppost, make it to that next lamppost. Like, you just have to like really just sort of lose all the other stuff and just sort of settle down in the moment. I'll tell you what, another enemy of mine, I would say, is social media.
Oh, yeah.
The amount of times I'm just flicking onto Twitter and just checking shit and going, why am I here? Get back to writing.
It's unbelievable. I mean, you get to a point where you're just mindlessly flicking through your phone, through your computer, whatever. That's another thing that I have done is I was writing a lot on StoryShop, but as much as I love the program, I've moved into Microsoft Word just so I can turn off the internet. Because you can't access it if the internet's not there. And obviously with me being in a browser, if I need to quickly search a word, I will do that and then I'll get distracted.
Yeah.
But I've just switched into Microsoft Word for a little while just to have a bit of basic.
There's a Freedom app. Have you heard of that? It's like it locks your computer from internet connection. Also, Dean Wesley Smith said that he has a separate laptop that has no Wi-Fi card, so he just can't get on the internet. So he sits down, does his writing, drops it onto a pen drive, and then drops it into his main sort of document or whatever.
Nice.
Yeah, I kind of feel like that's
a
good way to go. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, social media is just a dick.
Yes, it's like a. It's so pointless. Like, it's kind of fun sometimes, but then the amount of like nonsense you're just sort of looking through just to get that couple. Bit of outrage,
this is the ironic
annoyed
thing.
By something that Donald Trump said, or like, oh, that's annoying.
I do now, if there's a notification, I will go through every couple of hours. It'd be like 30 notifications because I have a lot of pages of stuff from work. I'll check them. If there's nothing for me, I will just flick off of it. But the ironic thing is I also want to be more active on social media as a personality so that I can keep my work and my face prevalent to those people that actually follow me, because I've got a number of followers on certain platforms. So I would like to grow that as a marketing tool, but at the same time, I want to do that without getting sucked into all the politics of a friend sitting there and saying that, I don't know, my daughter's ill, should I go to the doctors? And you sit there and go, well, if she's ill, just go to the fucking doctors.
Yeah, it's very easy to get drawn into those stupid things. I like using Instagram. I'd like to sort of keep a bit of like a record of, I like to look through the old photos. It's like looking through like photo album again. Oh, that's cool. That's when I did that thing. That's where we got the dog, or you know what I mean, those sort of things. But the amount of time I just spend flicking through the same other people's pictures, and I go, what the fuck am I doing?
Yeah,
this is just wasted time. Yeah. But okay, man. So there's a few enemies there. Mm-hmm. You maybe you've answered this already, but I was going to say, what's your big non-writing goal for the year? But maybe if you've kind of answered that already, what about what would your big writing goal for the year be?
I feel like I have to get my thingy back up that I wrote.
Twitter? you on social media right now. Let me just quickly check my...
one of them... I just got a message on Facebook. No, I haven't. So one of my big personal one actually is, I only decided this a couple of days ago, but I basically, I used to do a lot of parkour and free running.
Mm. And one I've of the big the videos things of you doing somersaults and monkey vaults and stuff. It's really cool.
All the fun stuff. Yeah. So one of the things that I always wanted to do, but never did, was loads of free runners that I know used to be able to. Joe, when you go up to the corner of a top of a shopping mall and there's like a railing and you put your hands on and you just pull yourself into a handstand and just balance.
Yeah.
I want to do that, not on the edge of a thing. I want to go from just sitting on the floor into a handstand without jumping, without any sort of dynamic movement. And there's a whole big process called calisthenic training, which is all about using your body weight and being able to basically do that kind of stuff. Just it's all push-ups and sit-ups and stuff. And I've just found a workout that is a six-month program that aims to get you to that point within 6 months. It doesn't look too intensive. It's a few days a week for the first couple of months. I want to do that. I want to be able to be just stronger in my core because I do a lot of cycling. I cycle to and from work. I got into running a bit last year and I started keeping that up, and I'm looking at some 10K, some Tough Mudders and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I want to do a bit more physical, strong core stuff.
Okay. So this calisthenic training thing, if you, can you link us up? It'd be interesting.
Yeah. I'll shoot you one while I remember now.
My brother-in-law is well into CrossFit. And he's, he does like muscle ups and
that's
and
huge at the minute.
It is, isn't it? Yeah. But it's, I think the reason that people like it so much is because there's a bit of a family mentality for all the people who go. Do you know what I mean? They go quite a lot. They're all there like 6-7 days a week. And they're all sort of egging each other on to these challenges and stuff. But, I was thinking I'd like to do a bit more of that kind of thing this year. I'd like to go rock climbing again. I used to really enjoy bouldering.
Yeah, I'm going rock climbing next week.
It's really good fun. Bouldering or like...
You want to come along? Bouldering.
Yeah, bouldering's where it's at.
Mm. I think it's just chill as well because I'm just going by myself and I've just booked in an hour and a half to just put some headphones in and just climb.
The only thing I've thought about bouldering is like how it tires your hands out like incredibly, so you might not be able to write if you get your writing done before you go, I reckon. But
just like a decrepit mummy just trying to type. Writing wise is just what I said before.
Moolah. My big non-writing goal is the half marathon. So I've done last year, like in April, I think it was May or April, I did my first 10K and I was like, really like, I don't know if I could do this. This is too much. But I did it and it was difficult. But now I've done about 5 or 6 of them. Just sort of, there's been a couple of days when I've just been like, a bit bored. And I just went for a 10K run just around the, around the big sort of field thing. And I'm like, okay, so I need to now set the bigger, it's getting a little bit boring, getting a little bit tired. I need to set the bigger challenge. So it's like,
you got the bug.
Half marathon. It's got to be. Because that's like scary when I'm not like, fucking hell, that's 2 and a bit 10Ks. I don't know if I could do that. But that's about the right kind of thing. I'm like, well, it needs to be a little bit sort of scary.
So otherwise it's no progress.
Yeah, I was thinking about doing some Tough Mudder stuff, by the way.
We'll have to pick one and do it together.
There's one in Manchester in August.
Oh, how much is that one?
It's like £35 for a 5K one. It doesn't seem that far, that like long distance wise, but I don't know.
Yeah, because I saw the full one that's appearing near me in May. It's at like full price now, £100 for the race, and I'm not paying £100 now for that race.
So they're quite tough, aren't they? Because they're like 10 miles or something. Is it more than that? There's some that are 10 miles, and I was like, that is quite far, really.
I think it is, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, cool. The last question, and then we should do the big whoops because we haven't done that.
Yeah.
thing you're most excited to read or watch in 2018?
Ooh, okay. Can you hear a dog barking?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's next door. I can't do anything about that. Sorry, guys. So the thing I'm most excited to watch will have to be... I'm going to go with Avengers.
Oh, yeah. Infinity. Yeah. You know, I wasn't sure if I was that bothered about that. And then I saw the trailer and was like feeling the goosebumps and I was like, oh.
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely the films where they all come together. It's definitely not so much about the storyline. It's just totally about some mental fun action.
Yeah. Did you get to the cinema to see the first Avengers film?
Yes.
Because there's that one scene when they all come together at the end and it's like it follows like Hawkeye's arrow and it goes to Captain America. And I was like, this is mind blowing. All these superheroes in one place. It was amazing. So I'm hoping this will be like that on a bigger scale.
Yes. Oh, huge scale. Yeah. Not as big as the actual graphic novel itself, but pretty big. What about you?
To watch? I don't know.
It gives me a moment to think about my read.
That's a good one. I think that might be like the only one I'm really sort of genuinely looking forward to. S. Craig Zahler is the director who made... Bone Tomahawk and Brawl in Cell Block 99, two of my most favorite films in the past couple of years. He's got another film coming out. It's called Dragged Across Concrete, and it's got Vince Vaughn and Mel Gibson in. And I'm like, that sounds like it could be pretty brutal.
But that's an interesting combo.
Yeah, I'm also excited. We're doing loads of like these horror movies at the minute, so I'm really excited to watch some of these ones that I've not seen for years, like The Wicker Man and The Shining, and I just seen Alien fairly recently. You know, some of these great films that you just don't really take the time to watch, but they are fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. Reading wise, it's going to be corny. I'm going to say They Ruin.
Okay. Yeah.
Only because when it comes to, I mean, there's a lot of novels I want to read, but when it comes to actually reading books, I don't really have many expectations of them until I've read them and I've realize whether or not they're good or not. Whereas obviously They Ruin is going to be the third in our The Rot series.
Yeah.
And we put the plan together. You're working on the first draft. So 50,000 words. Booyah.
Yeah.
So I'm interested to see how that's coming on. And then obviously we'll go through the edits and it'll be good to see the final thing come together and up on the shelf for the other two.
Yeah. Definitely. I've just having a look at my want to read, you know, section on Goodreads. there's so many. I mean, it's like you said, like sometimes I tend to have a bad habit of like buying books as soon as I sort of see them and think, oh, I fancy reading at some point. And then when I get it, I'm like, not feeling this right now. I'll jump onto something else. And books take a bit of a while to get through. I tell you what, so I'm excited to read more Joe Lansdale books. I'm excited to read more. There's an author called Anya Alborn. I've seen her name popping up a few times. She's like a fairly newer horror author, but... her name just keeps coming up everywhere, so I'm quite interested to see why, you know, what the fuss is about there. I'm excited to keep reading some King. Read 10 King books last year. I'll probably try and do a similar thing this year. And I don't know.
Yeah, I'm trying to have a quick look on my to read.
Non-fiction? Have you got any non-fiction books you're excited to read?
Yeah, there's a lot that is popping out. I got Tribe of Mentors from Tim Ferriss over Christmas. And one of the questions that he asks a lot of like 130 famous people, famous successful people, is what three books are they most gifted, or what books would they recommend the most? And there have been a few pop up on there that I'm quite interested to read. There's one which is called The Master Key, which was
Terry Crews recommended that.
Terry Crews recommended that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then another one, which was called
Man's Search for Meaning. I think that pops up a lot.
No, it was I'll find it in a second, but I got Save the Cat for Christmas, which has come up a lot.
Cool. Yeah.
Which just my friend that came to stay with me just randomly bought it and just said, I think you'll like this, even though he's never read it. So I'm excited to get into that. And think that covers it until I can find this other one. But yeah, I'm big into the nonfiction at the minute.
Yeah, this it hits like a different, like a different stomach. It's like if you're a cow, you've got a couple of stomachs. You've got a nonfiction stomach and the fiction stomach.
The fiction stomach.
So the nonfiction.
And the podcast stomach.
Yeah, nonfiction. I'm kind of excited to read another Tim Ferriss book as well. I think I'll get Tribe of Mentors. I've got 12 Hour Body, so I might reread that. And I've read the 4-Hour Workweek a few times. But I do want to read War of Art again. That sounds good. I want to get a couple more of Joanna Penn's, like The Healthy Author, and one? Author Mindset?
The Successful Author Mindset. I've got that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. The book I've just found, it's called Making Sense of People, Decoding the Mysteries of Personality. And it's supposed to be basically how to identify people's characters and traits and that, and adds a whole new perspective to actually who your friends are and who you pick to hire, things like that.
That's cool. Yeah. Have you done the Myers-Briggs test or anything like that?
I have.
Yeah.
Yeah. They,
what are you?
I'd say force upon you. Oh, I can't remember now off the top of my head. One of them, I think basically came out along the lines of Bookworm.
I'd say you're like a extroverted. That's it. I know it's like E, the ones that start with E and the ones that start with I. ENFJ probably or something like that.
I cannot remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did it a while back. What were yours?
INFJ, which kind of means like kind of quiet for the most part. Happy to do my own thing, but also wanting to do, it's like their nickname is the advocate. So I'd like to be a good example of what I like to see of people do.
That's good.
Yeah.
There are a lot. Yes.
Yeah. Cool, man. So I've not got any more questions. Have you got a big whip?
Oh, so I think my big whip's actually going to be going back to what we mentioned earlier, is the reading club. Just because it's quite a nice feeling reading alongside other people as well, and we've had a few people pop up. John Late, who was a previous guest on the show, is joining in with Joe Hill, which is quite exciting. But to be able to actually speak about the books all together afterwards and know that you're all kind of on the same pages, because I guess it goes back to writing a little bit. Reading, it's enjoyable, but again, it's quite a lonely thing. So I'll read a lot of books and then I'll try and talk to people I know about them, and it doesn't really turn into a conversation, whereas you can at least talk to other people, like be able to speak to you, John. Is Ben involved? Is he reading?
I don't know, actually. I'll ask him. I'm not too sure.
Yeah. But yeah, just making it a bit more of a community to read and engage on a different level.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It's since I started doing the horror hang-up project with Ben, where we both watch the same horror movies every week, like, it kind of makes you realize sort of how nice it is to watch stuff with other people, just to be able to sort of chat and sort of dissect stuff a bit more. And because, like, there's sort of things like with books, you read them, and like, I like to see what other people think on like good reads, but you can't really have a conversation because they're kind of they read it 2 years ago or something. Do you know what I mean? Or like,
it's not fresh,
exactly. Yeah, so yeah, so this is cool. That was going to be my big whip, but as you take it, I don't know if I recommended it already this year, but Brawl in Starblock 99, I mentioned it earlier in the podcast, by S. Craig Zahler. It was my favourite film of 2017. I just found it so surprising and so fresh. And it's about Vince Vaughn. He goes to prison. This sort of gang says, if you don't kill this guy while you're in prison, we are going to kill your wife and do some nasty things to her. So he goes, he has to get into Starblock 99, which is where this guy is, which is like where the murderers and psychopaths and the crazy, crazy people are. So to get there, he has to start acting like an absolute lunatic and start starting fights and just beating the crap out of it. It's so good. It's a full-on sort of fun, gory, sort of grindhouse-ish movie, but with Vince Vaughn. It was just really refreshing. So I recommend
that. Is he the protagonist?
Yeah, but he's not Vince Vaughn like how you normally know him. He's kind of quiet. But Vince Vaughn's like 6'7". Like, he's in these fights and he's... like, he looks believable. He's a monster.
Yeah.
But that was so fun. Yeah, I recommend that.
Nice. I have to give that a watch. Bit of a gander. Also, just to quickly throw this out there, because I've not seen it yet, I'm going to Black Mirror season 4.
Yeah,
Need to watch that.
I've seen the first four episodes so far. Got two more to watch. It's good. It's, you know, standard Black Mirror. It's good stuff.
Yeah, better than season three or on par?
I'm still debating about this, and like, well, the first episode especially is amazing. It's as good as any other season. And I'm not too, like, when I watch them, I'm not quite as amazed or pumped as I was on the last season. And I think it's just because Black Mirror, like, is so on point every single episode that now it's kind of normalized. And now it's kind of like where that you watch it, you go, that did the thing that Black Mirror is supposed to do for me. It's maybe kind of like a little bit like shock ending kind of thing. It's an interesting use of technology. It's quite dark. But then it's too... You're just expecting that now.
Yeah.
It's
kind
of like a good thing and a bad thing for them.
Yeah, there was a show that I used to watch called The League, which I don't think is on anymore. Which have you ever seen any of that?
Like fantasy football thing?
Yeah.
I've never seen it, but it's got Jean Lejoie in it, right?
Jean Lejoie's in it, yeah. And the main cast is sort of five stand-up comedians and 50% of it's improvised. It's absolutely hilarious. And that suffers from the same thing where it was good for the first three seasons, and then it stayed good for the rest. So you just get to a point where you're like, I know what to expect now.
Yeah.
Still fantastic, but it is what it is.
Rick and Morty, did you watch Rick and Morty this year?
I've seen season one and two.
Okay. It's on another level. It's good. It's like the writing in it. I don't know how it's going to be so clever and so silly at the same time. Like it's really impressive.
Yeah. Cool. That's my goal for this year. It's finish Rick and Morty.
Yeah, it's good, man. Okay, cool. We'll probably leave it at that for now. I've not got the outro text for me again, so let's see what we've got here. Thanks to the listeners for listening to the show. Thanks to Disasterpiece for the intro and outro music. Thanks to Acast for hosting the show. Thanks to our patrons over at patreon.com/hawkandcleaver. Thanks to everyone in the Facebook group. Go to the group. It's facebook.com/groups/hawkandcleaver. There we've got the readers group. We vote for themes for the other stories. We talk about, you know, random stuff. Join us there, and I think that's it. Thanks to Dan for being here in another year.
You're welcome, thank you. And happy new year, everyone.
Happy new year, yeah. All right, bye.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Story Studio podcast. Still hungering for some podcast goodness? Then why not check out our other show, The Other Stories? Oh, and did you know? Every time you leave us a review in the iTunes store, a puppy is born. Cute, eh? Anyway, toodle pip.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.